Hey, Justin Plowski here for the grand reopening of Waters Car Spa, the one-stop shop that makes your car look like new. They feature washing, detailing, and Castrol Lube all in one location. Get your car cleaned for just $6.20 inside and out all this week. All other services will also be reduced by $6.20. Join me, Justin Plowski, this Saturday. I'm going to be broadcasting there from noon to 3, and also you get to enjoy free food from Pollo Tropical. Mmm! That's this Saturday, noon to 3 at Waters Car Spa, just a mile and a half west of the Veterans on Waters Avenue between Hanley and Sheldon.
Get an in-depth look at sports from our resident Big Pole.
The Blitz with Justin Pawlowski. Saturdays at noon on the Sports Animal. 620 WDAE.
Justin Pawlowski here, looking back for another edition of the Rough Draft, as this is our email Rough Draft. All of these podcasts consider my Rough Draft, because you never have the final draft until the draft is over, and that's what we're getting ready for. Every Wednesday we're going to have an email podcast. You can email in your questions to me, NFL Draft at 620WDAE.com. NFL Draft at 620WDAE.com. And before we get into the email portion of this podcast, as you see at JoeBucksFan.com, my breakdown of the Combine a little different than maybe other people's breakdown of the Combine. Really five parts that you can break the Combine into. Of course, height and weight, players taking off their shirt. And listen, not every player is going to look like Superman. But I think a big part and a big reason why Terrence Cody is involved is, you know, where is that line of being massive and big in the middle and being overweight? That's why Terrence Cody is considered there. Obviously, other ones, including interviews, individual drills, individual timing, and also the medical portion. So all of those very important in the NFL draft, and you can see I've chosen a couple of players that would fit each of those criteria. That's not every player. You know, a guy like Greg Hardy, I didn't even put him on this combine sheet, although he's going to need a very good combine, as he went from really a lot of people considered him maybe a first-round top 10 pick a year ago before the season. He decided, you know, he came back, he played in 2009, dealt with a foot stress fracture at the beginning of the year, really slowed him down at the beginning. At the end of the year, and I believe it was a wrist fracture was what ended his season. So some injuries, people saying he doesn't have the right attitude. Now you're hearing people say that, you know, the attitude is because his coaches wanted him to play through the injuries when he knew that he couldn't. So where's the fine line? That's where interviews, that's where the medical portion comes into the combine, and rightfully so. Once again, with the combine, in my own terms, if I'm going to the combine as a scout, as a GM, as a decision maker for a football team, I'm not letting 140 time, one guy getting on a bench press, determine whether or not I'm going to take that guy in the second round or even the first round. But what it does do is it a light bulb goes off above my head, and I jot the guy's name down, and I go back and reassess and reevaluate that player. Maybe I didn't watch enough film on him. Maybe I didn't do enough homework on him. Maybe I have a different feel for him now after the combine than I did before the combine, not just because of the 40 time, but maybe a player runs a great 40 and you go back and watch additional film and realize that maybe he needs to be raised a little bit. Or maybe you go back and watch the film and he is what he is, and maybe just because he runs a fast 40 doesn't mean that he belongs on your football team. So that's going to be it for the combine portion. You can go ahead and read what I've got there. Right here at JoeBucksFan.com. Let's get to the email, shall we? Oh, yes, the email's a very popular portion.
Oh, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
An opportunity for you to get your questions in. Once again, we do this every Wednesday here at JoeBucksFan.com. And you can email your questions in if you didn't know about it or you forgot about it. Don't worry, we're doing it once again every week. NFL Draft at 620WDAE.com. NFL Draft at 620WDAE.com. And we'll get right to the email questions. Here we go.
You've got mail.
All right, first one coming to us is coming from Zach. Zach wants to know what running back and receiver are the Bucs looking at because we desperately need a receiver that can catch the ball instead of dropping it. Well, thank you very much for that phone call, Zach. Once again, we'll start with the third overall pick in the draft, your first-round selection. You know, if both defensive tackles go with the top two picks, the Bucs are caught in a little bit of a conundrum. Who do they go with? Obviously, the name Eric Berry is going to be bantered about, but two bigger, much bigger needs in safety that have elite players in this draft are wide receiver and inside linebacker. Rolando McClain obviously would be of consideration. Interested to see what kind of numbers he puts up at the draft, just kind of to gauge his speed, not because it's going to, you know, taint what I think of him or even make me think even higher of him. Just curious to see what he really comes in with, height and weight, what he really runs the 40 in. And if he has continues to have that good combination of size and speed, right now listed 6'4", 260, I'm guessing those are a little high. I'm guessing he'll come in a little under each of those. But where he, you know, if he comes in weighing 255 pounds and can still put up a good 40, all of a sudden you're looking at a middle linebacker with good size, great speed, a guy who's physical, came from a physical defense in Alabama and was a huge leader, and a guy who just dedicated his life at Alabama to being a leader and watching film and making sure that he knew every aspect of the game. A true student of the game. So Rolando McClain's a consideration there with the third pick, and then Dez Bryant, wide receiver. There's one of your wide receivers, I think, one of the elite guys in this draft. If you don't take one with the first-round pick, which I think there's a slim chance that they could take Dez Bryant with the third overall pick to give Josh Freeman that number one guy. If they don't, there is a logjam of receivers that could be anywhere taken anywhere from late in the first round to second round to into the third round. I mean, there's a bunch of guys. Aurelius Ben from Illinois, I really like. I think he's going to be a much higher prospect had he had a better quarterback throwing him the ball at Illinois last year. Golden Tate out of Notre Dame is consideration. Marty Gilliard out of Cincinnati. Josh Shipley out of Texas, who's floating right there around mid-second to mid-third. A lot of these guys are floating all around. Eric Decker from Minnesota, I think the injury he has sustained is going to hurt him as he's not going to be able to work out at the combine. Just a tough Brandon LaFell out of LSU. There's numerous receivers. And really, we didn't even name some of the smaller school receivers. I did get an email. Actually, it wasn't even an email. It was one of the posts under one of the comments under one of my stories so far here at JoeBucksFan.com. And it just says, Justin, what are your thoughts on Price out of Ohio? Price, coming from a small school, apparently has a lot of speed. Don't get to see a lot of Ohio football. So really anxious to see what he can do here or coming up at the combine if he has that kind of elite speed. That would, you know, I'm going to go back, obviously, and see whatever information I can pull up on him. Once again, when you come from a small school, it's going to be hard to find out the amount of information that you might find out on a Dez Bryant or whatnot. But Taylor Price, you know, with a player like that, you're looking at a third, maybe into the fourth round for him. Once again, just so many receivers in this draft. And I know I've even left off a few that are probably right up there along with the others. One intriguing receiver that might be of consideration for the Bucs at the top of the third round because of such a big need at the receiver position, and this guy has just such great talent, is Mike Williams out of Syracuse. I know, another Mike Williams receiver that has some questionable character. This guy does. He was suspended from the team in 2007 for academic issues, wasn't making the grades, and then last year he quit Syracuse's football team. This guy is, without the character, without the baggage, an elite receiver. Maybe right up there neck and neck with Dez Bryant in this draft, but he does have the baggage. It will drop him down. He's got good speed. He can go up and catch the ball, snares the ball with his hands. He is a true number one receiver with number one size, number one speed, number one hands. The question is, can he get his character together so that he can be an overall, all-around good football player? Worth a third-round pick? I think so right now. Next email coming in. I have not read these before we talk here on the podcast. Justin, why don't I hear more about this kid from Alabama? Leadership skills, smart, hard-nosed, and considered by some to be the safest pick in the draft. Trading down a few spots would seem ideal for the Bucs if they could snag him. Trade Rude for a third-round pick and nab some defensive tackle in the second round. Brilliant. This is coming from Scott in Sarasota. Scott, I've talked about Rolando McClain. The whole notion about trading down, it sounds great, but now you're hearing rumors, and it's not just the Bucks rumors, but the Rams might consider trading down. The Lions might consider trading down. The Bucks are going to consider trading down. I don't know about the Redskins. I think the Redskins want to stand pat where they are. They're willing to pay that big money to get a big name, whether it be a Sam Bradford, a quarterback, Jimmy Clausen, or whether it be an offensive lineman. The much bigger need for the Redskins is offensive line than at quarterback. That's why I think you might see them go with Russell Okung or an Anthony Davis. At five, Kansas City, are they an option to trade? Absolutely. I think all these teams at the top, they don't want to pay the top dollar for these prospects. That's why they're the worst teams in the NFL, because they don't want to pay it, and they're going to have to pay it if they can't trade down. So they're all going to want to. The question is, who will take the least amount to trade down? Right now, I don't predict trades. I think they're too hard to, because any trades you hear before the draft don't come true, and the ones you never hear of are the ones that actually come to fruition on draft day. So for the Bucks at the third pick, once again, if both defensive tackles are off the board, I'd say you have to consider Rolando McClain. Why wouldn't you? I mean, I understand linebackers, you know, you can get good linebackers and later in the draft, but, you know, if it fits a need, he's an elite player. He has that size and speed, which we're going to see here at the Combine. You watch him on film, good football player, good character. Not, I mean, I'm not talking about, oh, he's so nice. You know, listen, Bear Root has good character, nice guy. But also, Rolando McClain's going to stick his nose in the hole and stop the run game, stop teams from running right up the middle for 100 yards a game. That's the biggest problem for the defense right now for the Bucs. And that has to be addressed, whether it's defensive tackle or whether it's middle linebacker, but too much tentative play up the middle. And that's why Rolando McClain probably should be at least considered if both defensive tackles are off the board. And I said both because, well, I mean, if either one is on the board, that defensive tackle position, a much glaring need for the Buccaneers than at middle linebacker. This email coming to us from Larry. Larry says, I really haven't heard anyone comment about the likelihood that someone else may trade up to the number one position to take one of the premier defensive tackles available this year. What other team might be likely to either have the trade bait or picks combination that the Rams would want? Thanks, Larry Edwards. You know, that's a very good question, because you look at the teams in this draft and so much talk about, you know, you want to acquire picks in this draft. You don't want to give up picks. So are teams more willing to trade picks in next year's draft to move up, to move down, to do different things? Possibly. What teams are looking for defensive tackles? The Denver Broncos could use a defensive lineman, really, for their 3-4 scheme. The Miami Dolphins, another team that could use defensive lineman for their 3-4 scheme. The New York Giants could definitely use a defensive tackle now that they've switched from more of a physical, aggressive 4-3 defense to that Tampa 2 style with Perry Fuel coming in and taking over as their defensive coordinator. I can't really think of many other teams that would have that kind of firepower to move all the way up. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they still have John Henderson with Terrence Knighton, who they got as a young defensive tackle to pair with him. I don't see much coming from them in that regard. You know, Buffalo, I think they have more pressing needs. A lot of these teams have more pressing needs than defensive tackle to be willing to mortgage over the future to trade up and not just get Ndamukong Suh or to get Gerald McCoy, but all of a sudden you got to pay them $40 million guaranteed. I don't know a lot of teams that are willing to do that. Our final email coming in to us here for our email podcast, The Rough Draft, here at JoeBucksFan.com. This one's coming from Kennedy. Kennedy says, "Dear Justin, here's a question for you. I like what you've done on JoeBucksFan.com and the subscription. I hope there's going to be a lot more. If Mark Dominic says Combine is all about interviews and medical tests, then if that's true, what's the point of the workouts? And if that was the reasoning of how he and Bruce Allen looked at the Combine, then how did they ever draft Dexter Jackson, and why did his stock go up after a good 40 time? I just don't get it. Thanks, Kennedy." Kennedy, that's a very good question. We'll start with the Dexter Jackson. If any of you listen to my draft coverage during draft weekend each and every year, I kind of get a little animated with what I say. When was Dexter Jackson? 2 years ago? 2 years ago, Dexter Jackson was selected by the Buccaneers in the second round of the NFL draft. There comes a time and a place when you lose it mentally. You just totally flip out and you say things that are off the wall, crazy. You scream, you get that high-pitched voice in your voice. And I did just that. I went off on the Buccaneers. I said it was a waste of a pick. Dexter Jackson was no better than a late third, even a fourth round pick. Why on earth are you taking him in the second round when really I considered him a fourth or a fifth round selection? I said the Bucs are going to be waiting a long time for this guy to contribute on the field, if he ever contributes on the field. I went so crazy on the Bucs and their selection of Dexter Jackson that Buccaneers officials called the radio station to tell me that I needed to tone it down. The guy had never played a down in the NFL. Well, guess what? I'm still waiting on him to play a down in the NFL. He stunk. And that kind of goes back to when Joe himself asks you or tells you about my credentials. Those are my credentials. Nailing those kinds of picks. Telling you when Gaines Adams was selected that I would have taken anyone else with the fourth pick in that draft. I said that on draft day. I would take anyone except Gaines Adams. They took Gaines Adams, and look at what happened. Look at what happened. Dexter Jackson was the same way. The Bucs had the audacity to call me while I was on the air and tell me to calm down. Who should calm down now? In regards to the Combine, I kind of explained it earlier. For the Combine, once again, 140 time, one guy lifting, 225 as many times as he can on the bench press, vertical jump, even in the individual drills, the position drills that are run at the Combine. None of those are going to force me to draft a guy in the first round. Forcing me to draft a guy in the second round. It might force me to go back and reevaluate a player. I might go back and watch the film and say, wow, I didn't realize he was that fast. Let me go back and see if he plays fast on the field. Big difference between running fast in a straight line and playing fast on a football field. And that's really what it comes down to in the Combine, is all it does is kind of maybe gives you a better gauge for what a player is, what a player could be, as opposed to maybe what a player was on the field. And it maybe helps you reevaluate a player and find that diamond in the rough. That's going to do it for our rough draft this week for our emails. We've got a lot coming out. Once again, I'm holding off on the player rankings till after the Combine. We do get a much better feel. I mean, hell, these teams use it to reevaluate their players. I'll do the same thing. If a player jumps out at me, has a great 40, I'll go back and reevaluate him. Maybe he changes on my commission's board. Well, we're going to have the player rankings, mock drafts, updated commissions boards, podcasts. Everything you need is right here at JoeBucksFan.com. And as it should be for any NFL team, I say this every podcast, but I really swear it's true. You never know when you might stumble into a Hall of Famer. You could draft the new face of your franchise in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, even seventh round. You never know. That's why you shouldn't never stop believing when it comes to the NFL draft. Thanks for your emails. And remember, NFL draft at 620WDA.com if you want your email read again next week. I'm Justin Pulaski. Thanks for joining us for our draft coverage here at JoeBucksFan.com. Justin Pulaski here announcing the grand reopening of Waters Car Spa, the one-stop shop that makes your car look like new. They feature washing, detailing, and Castrol lube all in one place. You'll be in and out in just 25 minutes with a complete wash and a lube for just $27.99. Join me, Justin Pulaski, this Saturday as I broadcast live from noon to 3. Free food from Pollo Tropical. All proceeds while we're on site will go to a college scholarship fund for Tampa Housing Authority students. That's this Saturday from noon to 3 at Waters Car Spa, 1.5 miles west of the Veterans on Waters between Hanley and Sheldon.